Holy cow! Have you ever heard that phrase used in an exclamatory way and wondered, where did that come from and what's that about? It actually stems from Hinduism, a religion in which cows are revered and even worshipfully regarded. And we're going to find out all about that subject on this episode of Revealing the True Light.
There are so many religions in the world. How are they similar, and how are they different? We need to know. The culturally correct view is to blend them all together as equally relevant and legitimate. But is that true? Prior to becoming a follower of Jesus, your host, Mike Shreve, was an avid seeker of truth, exploring many paths to spirituality. One of his passions now is to help bridge the gap so that others can discover the true light, which gives light to everyone entering the world. Now, here's Mike Shreve, revealing the true light.
Have you ever heard somebody just blurt out, "Holy cow," and they don't really know what they're referring to? It's just a way of saying that that person is stunned by something or surprised by something, and they blurt that statement out. It's a common phrase, and usually people have absolutely no idea that it's rooted in Hinduism, because in that particular worldview, cows are revered to a very high degree, and we're going to find out why in the next few minutes as we delve into this intriguing subject. Cows represent three very important deities in the Hindu pantheon. Actually, there are the traditional number, 330 million gods and goddesses that can be worshipped in Hinduism. And these are some of the most important. Bhumi, that's B-H-U-M-I, or Bhumi Devi, is the Mother Earth of Hinduism. In fact, the word Bhumi is translated earth in Sanskrit. And she's also known as Prithvi, which means the vast one. And Prithvi's consort is Deus, the sky god. And the sky god is like the father sky, and the earth goddess is Mother Earth and their consorts. And so it's a representation of nature and a deification of nature, if you will. Because in pagan religions, quite often, certain elements in nature or certain things that take place in nature, like storms and earthquakes and things like that, are associated with deities. Or mountains and rivers, the sun, the moon, they're associated with deities. That's common in religions outside of a biblical worldview, especially those that are from the Far East. So, anyway, Father Sky and Mother Earth, or Bhumi Devi, are considered the parents who created the world and engendered both gods and men, or brought both gods and men into existence. So now you see the importance, all of a sudden, of the cow, because Bhumi is represented as a cow. Why? Well, first of all, Bhumi is celebrated as the epitome of patience and compassion and forbearance because of the patient way that cows serve the human race, being hooked up to plows and wagons and used in domestic purposes. And so as a representation of good qualities of character, also there's some myths associated with this particular goddess. One of the most well-recounted legends concerning Bhumi is her episode with a supposed emperor of the world named Prithu. And when Prithu hears that his people are starving because the earth has withdrawn most of her vegetation, he furiously chases after Bhumi, and she assumes the form of a cow and submits, allowing herself to be milked so that living beings could be nourished once again. And for this reason, milk is a very important symbol in Hinduism too. So that's one of the myths that include this image of a cow. Also, the goddess Aditi, A-D-I-T-I, is another goddess represented by the cow. And Aditi is the one who gave birth to the entire cosmos, including all gods and goddesses. And as a celestial mother, she's sometimes represented as a sacred cow, nourishing everything on earth with her milk, and is also known as Mother Space because she symbolizes the infinite and the divine order in the cosmos. So now it's becoming more clear, isn't it, why the cow is so important in Hinduism. It's also associated with other gods. For instance, Krishna. Krishna is a revered god in Hinduism. Many years ago, the Krishna consciousness movement really came through the West strongly, and many people were being involved in Krishna devotion. And Krishna, the story of Krishna is in the Bhagavad Gita, and he is represented as a cow herder. And in fact, he's called Govinda, which means protector of cows, or one who brings satisfaction to the cows. So there's a connection with Krishna there. And also, there's another deity, and the pronunciation is Kamadhenu. That's K-A-M-A-D-H-E-N-U, Kamadhenu. And Kamadhenu is the bovine goddess, or the cow goddess, that grants you all your wishes. Boy, that would be nice, wouldn't it? She's a miraculous cow of plenty who provides her owner with whatever they desire and is often portrayed as the mother of other cattle. Now, in Hindu iconographic pictures, she is generally depicted as a white cow with a female face and female breasts and the wings of a bird and the tail of a peafowl. And as a white cow, she contains many other deities within her. Strange mythical concept. And she's honored by the Hindu veneration of cows. And that's why during certain festivals, cows roam through the streets and they're dressed up with garlands of flowers, and artistic images are drawn on their bodies, and they're fed sweets, and there's a certain supposed blessing in feeding the cows. Why? Because it's representative of Kamadhenu, the cow who grants you your wishes, this celestial deity. Romans 1:25 drives the nail in on why this is all wrong. It talks about people who are religious, people who are passionately spiritual, but they change the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And that's common. It's common in polytheistic religions that many deities are associated with various animals. And that's just a way, I guess, of people relating to something unseen by comparing it to something seen. Because they're very familiar with the cow. The cow is very much a part of their life, especially if in ancient times when it was more of an agrarian society where they were dependent on their farming and their farm animals, then it was a matter of life and death. And so that gave them a greater respect that moved into reverence, that moved into worshipfulness. And of course, it's incorrect because we only worship the eternal God, the true God. The God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and these three are one God. That's not the God of Hinduism. The God of Advaita Vedanta Hinduism is the impersonal life force that fills all the universe, especially animate things. The life of the tree, the life of every animal, the life of every human being. That's Brahman. And of course, Brahman then can manifest in multiple ways, including a multitude of deities. But the core, the essence of all things, the bottommost essence is Brahman, this force, this life force that everything is drawn from. And that's why so many things can exist that are deified in Hinduism, because they all draw their existence from that fundamental life force. Well, God is not an impersonal life force. God is a very personal God that exists outside of human beings, and he will come into you when you invite Jesus into your heart and you invite him to be Lord of your life. Now, there's some other reasons that cows are revered in Hinduism. And there are festivals where the cow is very symbolized. And one reason, another reason, apart from what I've already shared, is the association with priests. The cow was identified early on with the Brahmin or the priestly caste. And the killing of a cow was sometimes equated with the killing of a Brahmin, which is a major crime in that culture. And a Brahmin is of the priestly caste. Next, cows are symbols of nonviolence, which is a hallowed trait in especially Hinduism and some other expressions of Eastern religion. Ahimsa is non-harm or non-injury, non-violence. Mahatma Gandhi was very influenced by the concept of ahimsa. And that's why I've included a quote from him. He said, "If someone were to ask me what the most important outward manifestation of Hinduism was, I would suggest that it's the idea of cow protection." Cow protection, because cows are protected in that part of the world. They have legislation protecting cows. And for instance, in the capital city of Delhi, there's about 13 million residents, but there's about 40,000 cows roaming the streets and creating chaos sometimes, tearing into garbage bags, blocking traffic. They've even hired people now that can gently remove the cows from the downtown city area and take them to the outskirts of the city. But unfortunately, they quite often wander right back in where all the food is and the people that will feed them in order to show reverential awe of what they represent. So in Hinduism too, I was quite shocked when I found out that even cow dung and cow urine are considered valuable. Cow dung is used in some of the worshipful ceremonies and rituals of Hinduism. They take the cow dung and they dry it, and then they turn it into powder and sometimes even mix it with the ashes of those who have been cremated, or the ashes of wood that's burned, some dry wood. And then in certain rituals, especially devotees of Shiva — Shiva is one of the top gods in Hinduism, the god of destruction — and those who are devoted to Shiva quite often will be seen with three marks across the forehead. You could look it up. Go ahead and look it up. It's called this ash that is created from cow dung and cremated bodies and sometimes wood also. It is representative of several things. It's when it's spread across in three horizontal lines across the forehead, it represents the power of will, the power of knowledge, and the power of action. Cow dung, because of their reverential awe toward this animal that has been deified in their belief system. Spreading the ash that is made out of cow dung is not going to get you closer to God. It's an empty ritual, a sad thing that people would even lend that much importance to something like that. Well, those are the main reasons. I do want to emphasize, too, that you can go deeper into your understanding in this subject if you want to, by a book that our publishing company recently did for a lady who was converted out of Hinduism. She was raised in a Hindu temple, and her father was the caretaker of the temple. And she wrote a book once she found Jesus, and we published it for her through Deeper Revelation Books, called From Cows and Cobras to the Cross of Christ. From Cows and Cobras to the Cross of Christ. It's a very interesting read. And Prima, that's the name of the author, is such a beautiful person. And she loves God to such a deep degree. And I know that book would be a blessing to you. And you can find it on the website, deeperrevelationbooks.org. And I believe it's also offered on our main comparative religion website, thetruelight.net. So there you have it. That's why cows are so revered in Hinduism. And that's why people say, holy cow, now you know.
Thank you for joining Mike Shreve today on Revealing the True Light. And thank you for opening your mind and your heart to the truth. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, cpnshows.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss new episodes. You can explore the beliefs of many world religions more deeply by ordering Mike Shreve's book titled In Search of the True Light. We also invite you to visit our website, thetruelight.net, and sign up to be part of our global internet family.